Let's turn back to John chapter 12. That was very appropriate scripture for our text. John 12. The Lord speaking says in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." What is soul trouble? What is soul trouble? When the Spirit's well within, you can endure some outward affliction. But when the soul is troubled, is your soul troubled? Really troubled? It's a whole different story. Scripture says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Proverbs 18:14 said, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" A ship can endure stormy winds and waves that beat upon the outside of it. But then when the waves start to come into the ship, it starts to sink. It's impossible for us to comprehend our Lord's soul trouble. Scripture calls our sufferings light afflictions, which is but for a moment. And it seems anything but light to us while it's happening. But it's light in comparison to Christ and the soul trouble that he suffered. The best we can do to try to enter into what our Lord's soul trouble is try to think of the very worst soul trouble you've ever experienced. I mean, just the worst. And then magnify that and try to imagine it magnified thousands of times. And you still fall short of it. You and I really haven't suffered soul trouble. What was our Lord's soul trouble? He said, "Now is my soul troubled." Our Lord knew beforehand everything he would bear on the cross. The nearer he came to the cross, the more that trouble increased. He said in Luke 12:50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished?" The night he was betrayed, while he sat at the table with his apostles, when his thought turned to the betrayer, it says he was troubled in spirit and testified, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." He came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the scripture said he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." So sorrowful he was about to die right then in the garden. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then on the cross, these are the words of our Lord. Psalm 77:2, he says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not." It was black. It was darkness, dark as night when our Lord suffered. "My soul refused to be comforted." My soul refused to be comforted. "And I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." He says in Psalm 88:2, "Let my prayer come before thee." Let my prayer come before thee. "Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles. And my life draweth nigh unto the grave." I have no doubt that Job was inspired by the Spirit of God even when he was suffering, and he suffered greater things than most anybody we know. But these were the words prophetic of our Lord as well. "Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave." Well, what troubled the soul of our Lord so? What troubled his spirit, his inward very soul so? The Lord Jesus Christ is holy God. He's holy God. He's perfect man who knew no sin. Now, he really did hate sin with a perfect hatred. You and I don't really know sin. We sin when we claim to be against sin. And that's just so. We don't hate sin like we ought. We don't hate sin like we want to. We really don't know sin. We like it when somebody else has sinned and we can feel like we're not as bad as they are. We don't know our sin. We prove that. The spotless Lamb of God knew no sin. And he hated sin perfectly. And yet for a worm like you and a worm like me, the spotless Lamb of God gave himself to be made sin for us. There's a huge difference between being a sinner and being made sin. A sinner is what you and I are. A sinner is somebody who rebels against God. That's not what our Lord did. Our Lord Jesus willingly presented himself spotless, holy, with no sin, and was made sin for us. He created the world he was standing on. He gave the law and the prophets and the ceremony. He created everything the temple was made out of and provided the lambs. Everything they were using in religion, he gave it to them. And because they were going to have to humble themselves and trust him, they want to kill him. Not to stop the charade, but to keep on doing it. Pretending like they're righteous and holy. And so concerned for God's glory. Pride. And yet for some of those very sinful wretches, our Lord was made sin. And a load of sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all his people. Just a load of sin. And our sins became his so much so that they were his sins. Psalm 38:2. He said, thine arrows, speaking to the Father, thine arrows stick fast in me. Thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. That had to be so. It had to be so. He's manifesting God's holiness, God's righteousness. He's manifesting how God is just and how he's the justifier. And before God would mete out justice on him, he had to be made sin for his people. In order for him to make us the righteousness of God in him, he who knew no sin had to be made sin for us. That's what caused our Redeemer to be in agony of soul and to sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Scripture says, you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Next time when we get proud that we haven't sinned as others, you haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He did. That's a little bit more than God just treating him as if he was sin. What troubled our Lord so? Each child of God has the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And nothing comforts you like the communion you have when you have God's presence and you know God's presence. That comforts you. The whole world can be turned against you. But as long as you know you're cleansed by the blood of Christ so that you have peace with God and know he's all your hope, you can bear the outward. It's not easy, but you can bear the ugly faces and the ugly looks and the scowls. You can bear that. You can bear being forsaken and left alone. You can bear that. Christ bore that. He could bear that. What was it that troubled his soul? It was that when he bore the sin of his people, after he was made to bear the sin of his people, then he was made a curse for us. Made a curse for us. He knew the love of the Father perfectly, and he loved the Father perfectly. You know how troubling in your soul it is if your peace with God is interrupted. But we don't love Him perfectly. We don't know Him perfectly like Christ did. Christ loved Him perfectly. And He loved Christ perfectly. And the Lord knew that. He had that full, perfect love of the Father constantly. And yet He knew when He was made sin, He would be made a curse for us and He'd be cut off. That's what being made a curse is. To be cut off from the Father He loved. He knew He would bear that thick darkness of the light of His Father's countenance being turned from Him. I know that folks get all in these debates over what does it mean that Christ was made sin. But the Lord didn't infuse something into Adam when he was made sin, when he became sin. He took something from him. He took His presence, His Spirit. And our Lord on the cross cried out, O Lord God of my salvation, I've cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles. And my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I'm counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more, and they're cut off from Thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and Thou hast afflicted me with all Thy waves. Again, these were words that Job spoke, but they really are the words of our Lord. Whether He spoke these words or not is not the thing. This is what He was bearing. The arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God to set themselves in array against me. The terrors, the arrows of God have drinked up my spirit. That's why He said my moisture is turned into drought. My spirit is dried up. This is when He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? There's no doubt that the bodily sufferings our Lord bore were excruciating. And you just read the things He bore and they had to be just excruciating. Sinners have borne those things. I mean, there's been martyrs that have suffered a lot of cruel deaths outwardly. But this is far, far worse. This was Him satisfying the justice of God. This was Him bearing what justice demands of His people. This is being made sin for us. This is being made a curse for us. This is being made to bear the wrath of God instead of His people. And right there that day, all this crowd of people's around, and they're laughing and they're joking, and they're seeing friends they ain't seen in over a year. And they're all going through their little mock thing like they're worshiping God and their religion. And this all came upon the heart of our Redeemer. And He said, right there in the midst of all of it, Now is my soul troubled. But I want you to behold the faith of our Lord Jesus by whom we're saved. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. What was the cause? Father, glorify thy name. That was the cause. That was the cause. The holiness of God. Do you ever think about standing before God? We won't be near as cocky and puffed up when we stand before Him. We're going to be on our face. Everybody that ever faced Him hit their face. The holiness of God. The wisdom of God. The long-suffering of God. The mercy of God. The grace of God. The justice of God. The wrath of God. The righteousness of God. That's the glory we see on Calvary's cross. It's the only place where we behold God's glory manifest perfectly, fully, totally, completely is in Christ and Him crucified on Calvary's tree. And for this cause, glorify the name of God. He said, I came unto this hour. You want to talk about the government being upon His shoulder? That's the government that was on His shoulder. To manifest the glory of God in bearing all the sin of His people, being made a curse for His people, enduring the hell that justice demanded of His people, to manifest God's glory in the salvation of a bunch of hell-deserving maggots. That's what He came for to do. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. I wonder how many hours there will have been when the last one ticks off from the beginning to the end. I wonder how many hours will have rolled by in time. And all were made for that hour. All before look to that hour, and all after look back to that hour. That's why God created the world. It was for the Father's glory that our Lord Jesus set His face like a flint and faced His cruel self-righteous tormentors and went to that bitter, shameful cross, it was to glorify the name of His Father. It was for His Father's glory that He said, I mean, He could have called at any time and He said, the Lord, the Father would send me legions of angels to deliver me. He didn't have to go to that cross. He didn't have to bear any of that. But it was for the Father's glory. And He said, not my will, but thine be done. He glorified God's name. He alone has glorified God's name. Because He finished the work the Father gave Him to accomplish. He absolutely finished it. He magnified the law, made it honorable, so that, sinner, you sitting here today to trust the Lord with your pitiful faith, with faith so full of sin that if we really could see it, and as God sees it, we'd probably say it's no faith at all. And yet God says, you have thoroughly, fully, completely honored His law throughout the totality of your life. You didn't do that. You'll never do that. You'll never get 1 ounce of glory for that. Ever. He did that. He did that. That's how you see depravity without it just being a box you check off. Oh, He said depravity. We covered that today. It's knowing you won't ever, ever, ever stand in anything you've ever done. That right there, what He did is the glory that glorified the Father. Right there. See our depravity when you see Christ and what He did for His people. He justified each one that the Father entrusted to Him. That means if we could see this image of a book that God speaks about, and you know He just knows it. But if you had saw a book in glory, and you could look into that book and see all your sins, how big do you think that book would be? How big do you think your book would be? Just your book. not your neighbor's, just yours. And God says, this is what being justified is. There's no record here of any sin. Ever. All I have here is records of righteousness and perfect righteous deeds and perfect love and perfect love to me and to my people. That's all I have here. That's being justified, made righteous before God. And He suffered all in perfect faith to God without one hint of unbelief. Not a hint of unbelief. Not even when He was on that cross and He was bearing that darkness and there was no answer from the Father. And you and I, when we don't feel like we have God's presence, we have it. We really do. It's not like The God is never turned away from his child from God's point of view toward us, because he's reconciled his people to himself in his Son. It's only from our perception. But our Lord was cut off. I don't know how that could be, but he was cut off. And even when he's cut off, there's not a hint, not even a hint of unbelief in him. Perfect fidelity to the Father. Perfect faith that glorified the name of God. We won't get any glory for our faith either. We don't want any, do we? You want to trust that God's going to save you because of your faith, because of the quality and the degree of your faith? If you do, face your salvation. Faith's not our salvation. Faith just merely, it's just believing God. Trust in the Lord. But His is perfect. Perfect. It's that faith by which we're justified. That faith. That's why we believe in Him, that we might be justified by the faith of Him. And He had perfect, unwavering love to the Father and to His people. I know we won't get any glory for that. And because our Redeemer glorified the Father so, the Father glorified our Redeemer. He says there in verse 28, "Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Pink had a good observation on this. He said three times the Father spoke audibly unto the Son. This is where he said, "I have glorified it." It's a lot more than that. I mean, he's glorified the Son in the heart of everybody he saved from the beginning. Glorified him in all the shadows and types and all of his providence. But speaking from heaven, this is what he said, and this is good. He said, he did it at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of his ministry. And in each case, it was in view of his death. At the Jordan, when he was being baptized, Christ went down symbolically into the place of death. The Father spoke from heaven. On the Holy Mount, Moses and Elijah had talked with him of his decease. And he spoke from heaven, glorified the Son. And here, the Lord Jesus had just announced that his hour was at hand. All three times, the glory had to do with his death. And this is why those in whom he's revealed his glory are so taken up with the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is why. This is why the gospel never gets old to his people. While the Pharisees are saying, "Tell us how good we are and tell us what we can do," God's people just want to hear more of the Redeemer. Saying, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." And God glorified his name again when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand, glorified the God-man, glorified, and there all his people are seated in him, perfect, absolutely perfect, absolutely complete. Right now, our Redeemer is seated there. The Father has glorified His name, because that's how the Father glorified His name, in His Son. And He raised Him up glorified, and we see Him there glorified. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And here's the Father's word. Hear you Him. And every time of soul trouble, the little thing that we have that can be called soul trouble, I know it's the worst thing to us we've ever suffered. But this is what He says to us. Hear Christ and run to Christ. In Psalm 77:2, He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's Christ. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And that's what He commands us to do, is to seek His Son, hear His Son, go to His Son. I'm fixing to tell you some of the strongest meat in the very heart of everything this book is teaching us right here. I'm not going to say it. The Father's teaching us. He said, this is my Son. Hear Him. Go to Him. Go to Him. What causes us trouble in spirit? Let me give you four things and I'll close. Temptations by Satan. The devil's tempting. The devil was permitted to assault Job. And the devil assaulted Job's friends as well. And how did he do it? By turning them against each other. And he did the same thing to Peter and all the apostles. And here's what Peter learned from it. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? That means get to Christ. Knowing, that means trusting Him, that the very same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren. That's the opposite of what Job and his friends were doing. And that's the opposite of what the apostles were doing. What they all were doing is what the apostles were doing. Here's why I'm greater than you are. How do we do that? I wouldn't have done what they did. I wouldn't have sinned what they sinned. You know what the Lord's doing by that? I mean, not the Lord. The Lord permitted the devil to do by that. Sift us as wheat. There's only one way to get out of it. You can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. You can't get your brother out of it. Nobody can get us out of it but Christ. Hear ye Him. The only way to resist is steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? Peter said, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting it all into His hand. The second way we have soul trouble is because of our ignorance. Now, there's no peace in will worship. Might as well forget that. Conditional election don't have any peace in it. Redemption for all and yet for none won't give anybody peace. A new birth that depends on the infant to birth themselves, that won't give anybody peace. But far too often, believers lean to our own understanding. And God says, run to Christ. Hear my Son. He's glorified me. Now you go trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. The third way we get into soul trouble is our sin. We sin against God in thought, in word, and deed. We drink iniquity like water. And sometimes we sin terribly. And most of the time, God lets you know right away. and you have soul trouble. But sometimes he lets you go a long time. And quite frankly, if he doesn't save us out of it, we'll perish. But there is one fountain for cleansing, just one. Just one. Go to Christ, make a straight path to Christ, confessing everything you are, everything you've done to Christ and Christ alone, and beg Him for mercy. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. There's never a moment we don't. And He says, I delight to show mercy. I delight in it. He's not going to put a condition on you. He's not going to give you some hoops to jump through. He's not going to withhold it from you. Right then, He'll give you mercy. Right then. Because He said, I'm not like you. And He purges your conscience, and He's faithful and just to do so. He's faithful and just to do so. And worst of all is our unbelief. Worst of all is hearing all of this and not believing God. Thinking we know better. When we look to ourselves, when we look to providence, when we look to the wind, we look to the waves, they're weights. Just weighting us down and weighting us down until unbelief is strong and just besets us right out of the way. There's only one way to be saved from it. It's the same way every one of God's saints throughout the Scriptures was saved, and that is through faith in Christ. Go to Christ. Go to Christ. And He says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that He has set before us, with all the bumps and bruises and hills and valleys and scrapes and cuts and offenses and everything, because He set them all before us. Run it with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, the joy of glorifying the Father. You really want to glorify Him? You really concerned about His glory? Go to Him and trust Him. And treat one another like we really do. He despised the shame, but He bore it for us, and now He's sat down there, and He's working things out. And He's not going to let one of His people perish, brethren. He's going to keep you coming to Him. When Christ's soul was troubled, He looked to the Father, and the Father commands us, look to His Son and hear Him, because He's all your need. He's all your need. The cure for soul trouble is always and only by God glorifying His name, by shining into our hearts to give the excellency of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. When He does that, all is well. All is well. It's well with my soul. It don't matter how the waves are beating on the ship. All is well with my soul. Amen. Father, we ask You to bless this word. Make us really look to Christ. Make us stop looking at others. Make us stop condemning. Make us condemn ourselves. Break our bones, Lord. Just break it all. Break us down. Either bring us to Christ's feet or just turn us face down in the dirt. But Lord, we need You to save. Whatever You have to do, Lord, we ask You to do it for Christ's sake. Amen.